Understanding Biblical Theology, Edward W. Clink III and Darian R. Lockett, Zondervan 2012, 192 pages, paperback. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. About the authors. Edward W. Clink III, Ph.D., University of St. Andrews, is Associate Professor of New Testament at Talbot School of Theology, Biola University, and has written works on the audience and origin of the Gospel of John and the audience of the Gospels. Darian R. Lockett, Ph.D., University of St. Andrews, is also Associate Professor of New Testament at Talbot School of Theology, Biola University. He has written on purity and worldview in James. The two authors have an extensive interest in biblical theology, particularly to bring clarity to the confusion of definition and method. Introduction. The term biblical theology has been used in many ways by many different scholars. There is currently no consensus on how to define biblical theology or how it should be undertaken. While some might take the term to refer to a theology that is in accord with the Bible or to the theology contained in the Bible itself, the use of biblical theology as a technical term actually may be traced back to J.P. Gabler's inaugural address at the University of Altdorf in 1787. Gabler divided sharply between biblical theology and dogmatics, a division that remained popular within the academy. Gerardus Voss, in his inaugural address at Princeton in 1892, argued for the reunion of these two disciplines, but he has been mostly ignored. After the Second World War, a biblical theology movement arose, mostly in America. The movement was unified around the resurgence of theology, the unity of the Bible, and God's revelation in history. The biblical theology movement failed because it was too diverse and inherently conflicting in its methodology, but it left its influence in the academy. Since Gabler, there have been several key issues involved in doing biblical theology. What is the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament? Many scholars find this to be the most important question in biblical theology. Another issue is historical diversity versus theological unity. The biblical documents are quite diverse in historical setting and language, so how much of its theology is unified? Another issue is the scope and sources of biblical theology. While some scholars want to use only the canonical document, and even that depends on which canon one is speaking of, others want to broaden the scope beyond the canon. One must also ask, what is the subject matter of biblical theology? Various suggestions include history, God, the actions of God, and the belief of the writers. It is helpful to distinguish between the content of the biblical authors and the biblical writings. Lastly, is biblical theology a churchly or academic discipline? If the results are normative, the church must be involved, but if it is solely descriptive, then the discipline has but little antiquarian interest for the church. With these issues in mind, this book examines five different types of biblical theology. The typology functions heuristically and is not intended to be a perfect division between all types. For each type, one chapter explains the methodology and another chapter explains the work of a major proponent or practitioner of that type. The five types lay across a spectrum, with a focus on history at one extreme and a focus on theology at the other extreme. The order from most historical to most theological is historical description, history of redemption, worldview story, canonical approach, theological construction. Table of contents. Introduction. A spectrum of biblical theology. 1. Type 1. Biblical theology as historical description. A. Chapter 1. Biblical theology as historical description. Definition. B. Chapter 2. Biblical theology as historical description. James Barr. 2. Type 2. Biblical theology as history of redemption. A. Chapter 3. Biblical theology as history of redemption. Definition. B. Chapter 4. Biblical theology as history of redemption. D.A. Carson. 3. Type 3. Biblical theology as worldview story. A. Chapter 5. Biblical theology as worldview story. Definition. B. Chapter 6. Biblical theology as worldview story. N.T. Wright. 4. Type 4. Biblical Theology is Canonical Approach. A. Chapter 7. Biblical Theology is Canonical Approach. Definition. B. Chapter 8. Biblical Theology is Canonical Approach. Brevard Childs. 5. Type 5. Biblical Theology is Theological Construction. A. Chapter 9. Biblical Theology is Theological Construction. Definition. B. Chapter 10. Biblical Theology is Theological Construction. Francis Watson. 6. Conclusion. Understanding Biblical Theology. Summary. Chapter 1. BT 1. Biblical Theology as Historical Description. Definition. The first type, BT 1, is similar to the history of religious schools from the 19th and 20th centuries. Christer Stendahl in 1962 defined biblical theology, or BT, as a descriptive enterprise, divorced from dogmatics. He thus divided between the ideas of the Bible, what it meant, from the ideas of the modern world, what it means. BT 1 is therefore defined as the task to affirm the exegetical or descriptive nature of biblical theology and deny the theological or normative nature of biblical theology, page 31. This type of biblical theology is the theology of Bible on its own terms, researched by contemporary methods and undertaken by biblical scholars rather than theologians. Because of this last point, biblical theology is for the academy, not the church. Although, there are some that still believe in discovering what the text means for the church today, for example, Stendahl. Since BT 1 is concerned with the historical beliefs of the biblical authors, the scope of the sources includes any sources around the time of the authors. There is therefore no significance to the canon in this approach. The hermeneutical approach of the method is to determine as objectively as possible through the historical critical method what is the theology that existed in the minds of the biblical authors. Lastly, the subject matter of BT 1 is strictly historical, which differs from other theologians. For example, Barth concentrated on the atemporal, Bultmann focused on anthropology, and Cullman focused on historical matters based on a certain definition of time. Chapter 2. Biblical Theology as Historical Description, James Barr. James Barr represents BT 1 the best, since he has written on it and advocated for it extensively. He challenged several tenets of the biblical theology movement, such as a purported difference between Hebrew and Greek ways of thinking, the supposed connection between words and its related theological concept, and the use of etymologies to argue for a word's meaning. Barr believed biblical theology should be undertaken by trained historians in order to uncover the theology as it existed or was thought or believed within the time, languages, and cultures of the Bible itself, page 45. He believed the theology of the texts was mostly implicit and must be excavated, since the texts themselves are mostly historical. For Barr, the relationship between the two testaments was important because they portrayed different historical subject matter and beliefs. He believed the two fields of Old Testament and New Testament theology should be handled separately. The scope and sources of biblical theology for Barr include analysis of small units as well as comparative work between smaller units, but this does not make either analysis more theological. Moreover, there is no correct methodology, only various means of studying the Bible historically. In order to move toward theology, Barr uses the category of story, which constitutes the raw materials for theology, but is not theology itself. The authors assess Barr's version of biblical theology and appreciate his rigor for methodology, but lament his failure to describe how to write a synthetic work of biblical theology and for being too reductionistic in his definition of biblical theology, reducing it solely to history. Chapter 3. BT 2. Biblical Theology as History of Redemption. Definition. BT 2 is Biblical Theology as History of Redemption, which is defined as the chronological development of themes and structural ideas presented in the Bible. It is concerned with the unity of the Bible, using history as an organization principle. BT is concerned with God's unified, progressive self-revelation. It is useful in the academy and helpful for theology, but is also geared toward proclamation because of its treatment of Scripture as unified and its content of God's self-revelation. While the texts used for God's self-revelation are the canonical texts, extra-canonical sources help interpret those texts. There are three loosely defined schools of BT2. The Dallas School traces themes within individual books or collections of books, moving towards systematic theology when synthesizing those results with the themes of other books or collections. The Chicago School focuses on themes that run throughout the biblical corpora, unfolding progressively. The Philadelphia School integrates biblical theology and systematic theology more than the Chicago School. It also understands biblical theology as more than the sum of its parts, theological themes being the parts, with each theme coming to its climax in Jesus Christ. This understanding of biblical theology regulates exegesis and is not a bridge to systematic theology, as in the other two schools. Chapter 4. Biblical Theology as History of Redemption, D.A. Carson. D.A. Carson has written most prolifically from the perspective of BT2. He takes biblical theology to be a bridge discipline, with a straight line from exegesis to biblical theology through historical theology to systematic theology, although he does admit cyclical influence is inevitable. Biblical theology tends to synthesize the results of exegesis, but biblical theology also influences exegesis. Systematic theology tends to deal with atemporal questions that relate to the contemporary age, while biblical theology works directly from the text. Carson gives several keys to a useful biblical theology. It must trace salvation history in the Bible, be focused on a coherent and agreed canon, exhibit inductive work from the text, make connections between the biblical corpora, and transcend description, calling people normatively to knowledge of God, pages 82 and 83. This last element is important for biblical theology. It is not only for the academy, but they exist for the people of God. Because it is for the church, the whole Bible matters, and the New Testament use of the Old Testament is key to understanding how the two testaments fit together. The authors evaluate Carson positively for his synthesis of exegetical material and his methodological clarity. They critique his use of biblical theology as a bridge discipline, which divides too sharply between biblical theology and systematic theology, and for Carson's seemingly neutral presentation of history. Chapter 5, BT3, Biblical Theology as Worldview Story, Definition. BT3 is Biblical Theology as Worldview Story, which is especially concerned with the overall narrative shape of the Bible's history and with how later parts interpret or reuse earlier parts of the narrative. There is more attention to literary characteristics of the Bible than in BT2, mostly because of BT3's reliance on literary and philosophical specialists. The task of biblical theology, according to this view, is to read individual episodes or passages of Scripture within the larger meta-narrative. This meta-narrative is normative in that it should shape the lives of those who confront it. Because of this normative aspect, it is for use in the academy and the church, but the sophistication of the theory makes it difficult to reproduce by pastors. The sources used include the canonical text, as well as extra-canonical texts that help interpret the canonical text, as in BT2. There are different perspectives on how to understand the meta-narrative of Scripture. N.T. Wright focuses on the worldview that arises from the biblical authors and how that worldview shapes the narrative they tell. Richard Hayes focuses on how the New Testament uses the Old Testament and tells Israel's story. Richard Baucom notes a difference between story, which is essentially the events being told, and narrative, which is the way the story is told. Ben Witherington discusses an author's thought world. One key point of contention is how much the story refers properly, or accurately, to an external past. Lastly, the subject matter of BT3 is the narrative structure as portrayed from the biblical text. Chapter 6, Biblical Theology as Worldview Story, N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright's approach to biblical theology is built on the two pillars of story and worldview. Story for Wright is comprehensive and cohesive, but stands apart from timeless abstractions and logical systems of theology. It is the story of what God has done in the world, told from a certain worldview. He relies on an epistemology called critical realism, which tries to take a middle stance between positivism, historical texts give direct access to the past as it was objectively, and relativism, Historical texts reflect only the historian's ideas of the past. He reads the texts as referring to an external past, but reads them critically so as to overcome the subjectivity of the biblical authors. Wright uses the Second Temple sources not to make individual parallels, as in BT1, but in order to create a holistic worldview through which to read the entire New Testament. So the New Testament is read against the backdrop of the larger story of God and His people primarily told by Second Temple Judaism, page 115. The New Testament is also read as the continuation of the narrative in the Old Testament, which is Wright's primary way of connecting the Testaments. This holistic story of Scripture is normative on its readers in that they are part of the narrative, which is not yet complete. Because of Wright's heavy reliance on Jewish sources, rather than Christian tradition, his methodology is more in tune with the academy than the church, and the average church leader is not trained for such assessment. The authors evaluate Wright positively for construing the whole and the parts coherently without skewing either, for bringing history and theology together by a narrative. Yet the authors also suggest his worldview story may rely too much on historical sources rather than dogma and historical theology. He may also have implicit naturalistic assumptions about history, which restricts one's understanding of God's working in history. Chapter 7, BT4, Biblical Theology is Canonical Approach, Definition. BT4 is Biblical Theology as Canonical Approach, which tries to use canon rather than narrative, as in BT3, or history of redemption, as in BT2, as the unifier between theology and history. The word canon in this sense refers to a norm, that is, how Christian scripture functions in light of its collective form, page 126. Various advocates of BT4 construe the significance of canon differently, but the canon is always considered for its impact on the church in its final shape. This shape also opens new avenues for interpretation of the text, since historical critical work can uncover the various redactional shapings that the texts have undergone to reach their final form. BT4 tries to bring together theology and history by considering the theological construal of historical events in the canonical form of Scripture. Since the canon is the key to BT4, both testaments are considered for their unique part in the canon. These two testaments are still authoritative for the church today, just as it has been for previous faith communities and generations. This focus on faith communities means BT4 is for the academy and the church. The Academy does the historical critical work to uncover textual traditions, redactions, and receptions, while the Church applies the findings to today's audience. Christopher Seitz gives three ways the Church and Academy can work together. First, the Academy can look at the final form of the text as a sort of commentary on the text's prehistory, i.e., on earlier text forms. Second, the final form must also be understood according to the rule of faith in order to be proclaimed in the Church. Finally, because of the ecclesial focus, a final reading must include theological considerations. The theology of the biblical documents is not only extracted from the mind of the authors, but also from the text as used in communities of faith, including the earliest communities that shape the text. This theology must also culminate in Christ. So the canon remains the primary hermeneutical key, rather than authorial intention. Chapter 8, Biblical Theology as Canonical Approach, Brevard Childs. Brevard Childs is the most accomplished advocate of the canonical approach. He studied under Old Testament giants Eichrott and Baumgartner at the University of Basel, and later had an influential encounter with Karl Barth that spurred his penchant for theology. Childs' Biblical Theology in Crisis, 1970, showed that the biblical theology movement failed to provide a foundation and critical norms for all of theology. It failed because it did not answer the important questions of theology. Much of Childs' work was a reaction against the biblical theology movement and an attempt to provide a way forward. For Childs, canon refers to the authoritative reception of the biblical literature, the shaping of the collection of that literature up to its final shape, and the theological extension of the text's meanings. So the authority of the text lies in its reception by faith communities, rather than in the reconstruction of an original composition by the original author. Childs' hermeneutic was unfortunately so sophisticated that it was often misunderstood and abused. Childs objected to the idea that the literal sense of Scripture is the meaning of the original composition before any redactions or alterations were made. He objects because such a search is too historical, too hypothetical, too divorced from the final form of the text, and therefore also divorced from its use by the church today. Childs opts instead to make the literal meaning that which is witnessed to by the community of faith, which may not be the original or even the best meaning. With this understanding of meaning, the hermeneutical role of biblical theology is to understand the various parts of the Bible as witnesses to Jesus Christ. Childs describes a three-step process for biblical theology. First, each passage must be interpreted in its historical, literary, and canonical context. Second, one must extend this meaning through the rest of the canon. Third, one must theologically construe the original meaning and its extended meaning into one united whole. The authors assess Childs negatively because he relies on the past two centuries of historical critical work and then shifts so easily to a theological reading. They find him to stand between two worlds, to be accepted by neither. His greatest contribution is probably his attempt to unite exegesis and dogmatics. Chapter 9, B.T. 5, Biblical Theology as Theological Construction, Definition. B.T. 5 is Biblical Theology as Theological Construction. This type of biblical theology construes Scripture not as an ancient book, but as contemporary Christian Scripture. Advocates of B.T. 5 argue that biblical theology might be undertaken by academics, but it belongs in the church. Biblical theology is an integrated theological, hermeneutical, and exegetical discipline whose concerns are ultimately theological. This theology concerns the Bible as it is today, not as it was in the past. The special nature of Scripture requires a special hermeneutic that is not applicable to all historical texts. The results of this hermeneutical task are for the church's confession. The scope and sources of B.T. 5 are taken from the Bible as Christian Scripture, which contrasts with the historical and extra-canonical focus of the other four types of biblical theology. The two testaments give depth to one another, such that they must be read together. There are three general hermeneutical approaches to the Bible within B.T. 5. First is the revelationist approach, which is concerned ultimately with divine authorship over human authorship. Doctrine of God is therefore quite important. Second is the textualist approach, which focuses less on questions of authorship and occasions and more on the final form of the Bible. Third is the functionalist approach, which finds the Bible's meaning in contemporary communities of faith. The primary subject matter under these approaches is God and His work in the world, as well as the church's participation in that work. Chapter 10, Biblical Theology as Theological Construction, Francis Watson. Proponents of B.T. 5 are many and varied, but Francis Watson has been a leading voice in this stream of thought. He works across disciplinary boundaries, and his work, Text, Church, and World, 1994, was his program for a biblical interpretation and theological perspective, page 167. Watson places theology above all other concerns that arise from the biblical text. He aims to take the best of historical criticism and work from within a framework of systematic theology. For Watson, the Bible is rooted in the past but refers to the present. The events of the past are textually mediated through narrated history, and the documents should be read as they were intended to be read by their original authors. This means that historical study, getting behind the text to what really happened, is subordinated to theological concerns. Because he is motivated by theology, B.T. 5 for Watson is limited to the canonical documents, since they are the documents accepted by the community of the church. The New Testament and Old Testament are indissolubly linked, but the Bible is still twofold. To merge them together linearly, i.e., to flatten them out, would be to destroy them both. The Old Testament takes a preparatory and preceding role to the New Testament, to which the Old Testament points. For this reason, the New Testament takes precedence over the Old Testament. Because of B.T. 5's theological concerns, the Old Testament is to be read in connection with Jesus, not with ancient Near Eastern history or Second Temple Judaism. Watson's approach to biblical theology is not an exact method, but more an approach. His overreaching concern is simply not to neglect the theological dimension of the Bible. The authors note negative criticism of Watson by another B.T. 5 advocate, Stephen Fowle, who thinks Watson has not been theological enough. Christopher Seitz has criticized Watson for muting the distinct voice of the Old Testament, which in turn distorts the relationship between the two testaments and the God witnessed to therein. The authors claim Watson's complex and interdisciplinary approach to BT has inadvertently added more clutter in the path. Page 182. Conclusion: Understanding Biblical Theology. The authors conclude that they offer no new definition or methodological proposal for biblical theology because we envisioned our task as clarifying the morass of definitions and proposals plaguing both the academy and the church. Page 183. Each of these five types lie on a continuum between history and theology. They hope this book will explain why the definition of biblical theology is so varied in the academy and how the church has expressed and should continue to express their theology via biblical theology. The authors then provide a final summary chart on pages 186 through 189, summarizing for each type of biblical theology how it construes the issues of the Old Testament relation to New Testament, historical diversity versus theological unity, scope and sources, subject matter, and church versus academy. Copyright 2014, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced, in whole or in part, without express written permission.